The Roman era divided the island of Great Britain into two parts, the northern non-Roman part, where the Picts lived, and the southern part, which was part of the Roman Empire, and whose inhabitants were called Britons. The boundary became the wall built in 122 AD, Hadrian's Wall. The Britons were influenced by Roman culture. Roman way of life prevailed on the island. The legend of the Britons' descent from Brutus, a descendant of Aeneas of Troy, according to the Britons' beliefs, best testifies to this. According to legend, after the death of Brutus's father, he was driven out of Italy, and from there, along with other Italians, he moved to Britain. Thus, the island and the people on it were named after him. Such a legend is not the only part of myths where the name of the legendary founder explains the name of the people or the city. The fact that the Britons considered themselves relatives of the Romans shows how attached the inhabitants of Britain were to the Roman Empire. But everything changed in the 5th century. The Romans, who lacked an army on the continent, withdrew their legions from Britain, and a new era began on the island. Numerous small kingdoms arose in the province of Britain, the names, history, and names of rulers of which we learn mainly from folklore. Historians believe that these kingdoms are just a product of legends, but findings like the Aliortis stone, which was a gravestone for one of the nobles of the Kingdom of Elmet, indicate that at least some of them existed. The document Tribal Hidage, which is a list of tribes of southern Britain and the amount of arable land they had, also mentions some of the kingdoms of the Celts as those that existed or had existed at the time of its writing. Wars immediately broke out among the Britons. All old economic ties were destroyed. In addition, raids by the Picts from the north began. Hadrian's Wall was no longer defended, and the Picts, in their campaigns, reached the southern coast of Britain. Soon, Germanic invaders began to arrive on the island. According to legends, in 459 AD, King Vortigern of the Cantii tribe called the Jutes to help him restore order. The Jutes were led by two brothers, Hengist and Horsa. Eventually, they were able to overcome all of Vortigern's enemies, and then they turned against him, after which they established the Kingdom of the Cantuara on the lands of the Cantii, which would later become known as the Kingdom of Kent. It should be noted that in various legends, Hengist and Horsa were either Saxons or Angles. They were either driven from home or volunteered as mercenaries. They defeated King Vortigern by force, number, or cunning. Such differences in versions shows us that this is just a legend of later times, created to justify the invasion of the Germans into Britain. The Jutes also later captured the Isle of Wight, where they created the Kingdom of Witwara, as well as the Meon Valley, where the Kingdom of Meonwara arose, 460 AD. Following the Jutes, the Saxons, who lived in the lands of modern Germany, came to Britain. In 477 AD, the legendary leader of the Saxons, Ella, landed in Britain, between Cantuara and Meonwara, and did not allow the Jutes to unite these two kingdoms. Ella also created the first Saxon kingdom on the island, Sussex, which means Southern Saxons. Two Saxon leaders, Churditch and Kinrich, landed in the lands of Meonwara in 495 AD, and perhaps initially fought against the Jutes, although in legends they confronted the Britons in these lands. In 508 AD, they defeated the Britons and executed 5,000 of their prisoners. In 519 AD, they established their kingdom, called Wessex, meaning Western Saxons. As for the Kingdom of Essex, legends have two current versions of its origin. One legend says that it was founded by King Esquine in 527 AD. Another ignores Esquine and names his son, Sled, as the founder of the kingdom. The most massive wave of migration belonged to the Angles, who lived in southern Jutland, between the Jutes and the Saxons. The Angles first sailed to Britain in 480 AD. They landed in the lands of modern Lincolnshire and formed the Kingdom of Lindesedge, named after the local Celtic tribe. Over time, the name of the kingdom was shortened to Lindsey. The next group of Angles arrived in Britain half a century later. Under the command of King Isel, they landed in East Anglia, but did not stay on the coast. Instead, they went into the heart of the island, where, under the rule of ISIL's grandson, King Creada, they established the Kingdom of Mercia. Its name comes from the word march, which the Germans called the border where wars were fought. 20 years later, the Angles, led by King Ida, landed in the north, where they established the Kingdom of Bernicia, whose name was borrowed from the local Celts. It is worth noting that legends about King Ida differ, even in how he conquered new lands. In some legends, he became the first king and built its capital, Bamberg. In other legends, he set himself on fire and, burning, burst into Bamberg, which was at that time a fortress of the Britons, to capture the city. Ida is also present in British legends. Here he is known as Ida the Flamebearer. He appears as a cruel conqueror who ruthlessly burned Britain's settlements and was killed by a prince of the Kingdom of Reged named Owain. In 550 AD, the Angles landed in the east, where they formed the Kingdom of East Anglia. Its legendary founders are King Wena and his son Wufa. Their names, researchers believe, were invented to explain the origin of the local royal dynasty, the Wufingas. In 560 AD, the Angles settled on the Humber River. Here, the Kingdom of Deira arose, whose name was taken from the language of the Britons, who called this region Deru, meaning oak. However, it should not be assumed that the native inhabitants of the island could not resist the invaders. The first to lead the Britons at the beginning of the 6th century was Ambrosius Aurelianus. It is unknown whether he was a descendant of the Romans who remained on the island or a Briton who bore a Roman name. In 516 AD, Ambrosius managed to defeat the Saxons in the Battle of Badon Hill and halt the advance of the invaders into the heart of the island. The Kingdom of Dumnonia, which existed in the Cornwall Peninsula, also rose to power in constant wars with the Saxons, halting their advance westward. Only in 552 AD did the Saxons manage to continue the conquest of the island. At that time, Wessex captured the town of Old Sarum and expanded its holdings into western Hampshire. And 4 years later, the western Saxons defeated the Britons in the Battle of Berenberig, which allowed them to advance further westward. In 577 AD, Wessex defeated the Britons in the Battle of Durham. The Saxons occupied new lands, and there the Kingdom of Wicca emerged. Meanwhile, in the north, the Angles successfully resisted the Kingdom of Ibrac. Then, Bernicia and Deira united against it. In 580 AD, they together defeated the Britons in the Battle of Caergrú, and then divided the lands of Ibrac. This alarmed other Celtic kingdoms, and they allied against the invaders. In British legends, this union is known as Hen Ogled, which means the Old North. The Britons managed to defeat the Angles and push them back to Lindisfarne Island, which they besieged. However, failing to defeat the Angles, the Briton kings began to divide the conquered lands among themselves, quarreled over them, and started to fight each other. The Angles quickly took advantage of this, defeated the Briton kingdoms one by one, and reclaimed the conquered lands for themselves. In the same years, the Saxons from Essex formed Middlesex, the name of which can be translated as Central Saxons. Meanwhile, the Angles crossed the borders of East Anglia and formed the Kingdom of Middle Anglia. Separate groups of Angles reached the Pennines, where they formed the Kingdom of Pecceitan. It is worth noting that all this is a history from legends. Partly historians, with the help of archaeological excavations, confirm it, sometimes complement it, or even refute it. It is known that besides the listed Angles, Saxons, and Jutes, in those years the tribes of the Frisians also massively migrated to the British Isles. Archaeologists have also established that the tribes of the Saxons initially settled in the upper reaches of the Thames, and from there migrated to the southern coast of Britain. The oldest Germanic settlements in Mercia appeared half a century before the Angles arrived there, according to legends. On the conquered lands, the Germanic people established their traditions, which were based on the principles of tribal alliances and military democracy. The basis of society was chaorals, free peasants who owned their land. They formed the basis of the army, which was called the fyrd. The Germanic tribes were ruled by kings. Often, these were former tribal leaders who, according to tradition, and also to strengthen their power, traced their lineage to the heroes of legends, or even to pagan gods. Representatives of the nobility were called earls. Mostly, these were warriors to whom, for various merits, kings granted additional lands. Such enrichment gave them even more opportunities for a military career. They led separate units, managed forts, and dealt with local administration. Earls, who had relatively small possessions, were called thanes. Often, they differed little from free peasants or chaeorls. The richer earls were called eldermen. They formed the basis of the nobility. The richest earls were called wittens. Their privilege was to enter the Wittenagemot, an assembly of nobles where the most important issues of the kingdom were decided. The culture of the new kingdoms was typical Germanic, but over time it began to change. The Jutes and Frisians almost immediately merged with other Germanic peoples. The languages and traditions of the Saxons and Angles gradually became similar until they transformed into a single Anglo-Saxon culture, thus forming a new people on the map of Europe. The conquered Britons were left with nothing. The Anglo-Saxons destroyed their settlements and massively exterminated the indigenous population. Those Britons who survived became villeins, that is, dependent peasants who had to work for the conquerors. There was practically nothing left of the material culture of the Britons on the abandoned lands. British clay houses disappeared completely. Instead, wooden houses of Anglo-Saxon type were built. Christianity almost vanished from the island, and Roman cities fell into ruin. Anglo-Saxons called the Britons Welsh, which means foreigners. The Britons called themselves Timraig, which can be translated as people who speak the same language. Behind the Britons on the island remained the regions of Cornwall, Wales, Strathclyde, and the Isle of Man. A significant part of the Britons, fleeing from the Germanic peoples, escaped to the Brittany Peninsula. The cruelty with which the invaders exterminated the indigenous population created in the folk epic the legend of King Arthur, who ruled shortly before the arrival of the Anglo-Saxons. He embodied all the qualities of a good ruler who bravely defended his kingdom. According to legend, Arthur did not die, but only fell asleep to awaken when Britain needed a hero and save it. King Arthur became not just a part of European legends about the sleeping king. He entered Anglo-Saxon legends, where he became a phenomenon of world literature and the most recognizable character in British myths. In 597, missionaries from the Pope arrived in Kent. They persuaded King Athelbert I to accept Christianity, and Canterbury, the capital of the kingdom, became the religious center of Britain, from where the Christianization of the Anglo-Saxons began. In addition to the Pope's missionaries, a letter also came to King Athelbert, where the name Land of the Angles, Anglaland, was used for the first time. It initially became a church name, but later passed into all other documents. This is how the name of the country, England, was established. In 593, Ethelfrith became the king of Bernicia. As a talented military leader, he reformed the army, dividing it into a professional force from among the earls and a militia, feared from the peasants. In 599, the Welsh again united against the Angles. They gathered significant forces, including foreign nationals, and the main advantage was 300 horsemen, a formidable military force at that time. After that, they marched on Bernicia, but Ethelfrith began to retreat, luring them into his possessions and defeating them near the fortress of Catraith. This defeat was a catastrophe for them, as Ethelfrith expanded the borders of his kingdom and began to interfere in the internal affairs of neighboring Welsh kingdoms. Soon Ethelfrith faced a new problem, the Scots, who had migrated from Ireland to northern Great Britain. They began their expansion to the south. Then Ethelfrith declared war on the most powerful kingdom of the Scots, Dal Riata. In 603, he defeated the Scottish army in the Battle of Degsastan. This battle undermined the power of Dal Riata. It also suspended the process of uniting the Scots, other tribes of which now abandoned attacks on the Angles. Meanwhile, a civil war broke out in the kingdom of Deira, and power was seized by the alderman Ethelric. In 604, Ethelfrith, under the pretext of protecting the legitimate heir, Prince Edwin, invaded the neighboring kingdom, where he defeated and executed the usurper Ethelric. However, he did not hand over power to the rightful ruler, but united his kingdom with the kingdom of Deira. Prince Edwin, the target of the assassination attempt, had to flee his homeland. The new state was named Northumbria, and was so named because it was located north of the Humber River. In 613, Ethelfrith began the conquest of Cumbria, and a year later he plundered the British kingdom of Powys, where he burned all the monasteries and brutally dealt with the monks. In 616, the East Angles invaded Northumbria. Their king used the question of returning power to Prince Edwin as a pretext. Ethelfrith suffered defeat in the battle on the River Idle, where he was killed. Eventually, Edwin became the king of Northumbria. In 617, he annexed the Welsh kingdom of Elmet, and in 625, he captured Lindsey. Also in 627, Edwin allied with Kent and baptized Northumbria. Soon after, he captured the Welsh islands of Anglesey and Man. Thus, Edwin became the most powerful king in Britain. However, this became the reason for his downfall. During this time, the kingdom of Mercia was ruled by Penda, who was a staunch pagan. In 626, he conquered Middle Anglia, and 2 years later, he captured the kingdom of Wicca. Thus, the power of Mercia grew significantly. In 631, Penda invaded Dumnonia, where, in addition to the Cornish, he encountered the Welsh king Cadwallon. Cadwallon defeated Penda in the Battle of Exeter. But, instead of finishing off the Mercians, Cadwallon offered Penda an alliance against Edwin, the king of Northumbria. In 633, the Allies invaded Northumbria and caught Edwin off guard as he retreated, unprepared for battle. With numerical superiority, they defeated the Northumbrians in the Battle of Hatfield Chase. King Edwin of Northumbria died in the battle, and the Welsh captured his kingdom. However, this was their last significant victory in the war against the Anglo-Saxons. At the same time, in the north of Northumbria, Oswald, the son of the former king Ethelfrith, dreamed of reclaiming his father's inheritance and was gathering an army for this purpose. Edwin's death greatly aided him, as now he led the Northumbrians in their struggle against the Welsh. After liberating Bernicia, Oswald awaited the arrival of Cadwallon there, lured him into an ambush, and defeated him in the Battle of Heavenfield. Thus, Oswald established his complete authority over Northumbria. Oswald completed his father's conquest of Cumbria, and also expanded the northern borders of Northumbria by capturing the Britons' fortress of Dun Edin, which is now called Edinburgh. In 642, Oswald attempted to capture the Welsh kingdom of Powys. However, he was already awaited there by the Mercian king Penda, who defeated the Northumbrians in the Battle of Maserfield. Oswald was killed in battle, and because he died fighting against a pagan king, the church declared Oswald a saint and the patron of Northumbria. With the death of their king, the country split into two old kingdoms, Bernicia, Deira. But not for long, as Oswald's brother Oswy, who ruled in Bamburgh at the time, took on the name of Saint Oswald and began the unification of Northumbria. He preferred negotiations to war. During one of these negotiations, Oswy killed his own nephew Oswine, who also claimed the throne. Eventually, Oswy managed to unite Northumbria in 654. During this time, Penda became the most powerful ruler in Britain. He defeated the kingdom of East Anglia, killing two of its kings, one of whom also became a saint. Penda then installed there a puppet king, Anna. In 645, Penda captured Wessex, driving King Cenwal to East Anglia. However, 3 years later, Wessex regained its independence, and Cenwal returned home, bringing Christianity to the West Saxons. In 654, Penda attacked East Anglia again, killing King Anna and annexing his lands to Mercia. Here, he distinguished himself with the brutal persecution of Christians. When Penda learned of the unification of Northumbria, he immediately began to prepare a campaign against it. Penda ravaged Northumbria with particular brutality, burning down all settlements in his path and killing Christians. Meanwhile, Oswy was forced to hide in the fortress of Eudo in the north of his kingdom. The Mercians besieged him, but they never managed to capture him. Penda decided to offer peace, taking Oswy's son as a hostage and returning to Mercia. On the way, near the river Winwood, King Oswy caught up with the Mercians. By that time, Penda's tyranny had wearied even his troops. Most of his army deserted him before the battle. Additionally, the East Angles and the Welsh betrayed him. Therefore, in the battle, Penda's weakened army suffered defeat, and the King of Mercia himself was killed. Northumbria once again became the most powerful kingdom in Britain. King Oswy installed a puppet king in Mercia, and soon after, he took the title of King of Mercia. Following this, he captured the Welsh kingdom of Fengweryn. Penda's son, Wulhir, abandoned his father's policy of fighting against Christianity and embraced it himself, seeking the church's help to reclaim the Mercian crown. In 658, the Mercians, dissatisfied with King Oswy's high taxes, rebelled against him, with Wulhir leading the uprising. At the same time, Wulhir helped the kingdom of Powys to break free from Northumbrian rule, where the local Anglo-Saxons formed their kingdoms. In 661, Wulhir invaded the territories of Meanwer and Witwara, which were the last centers of paganism in Britain. He handed over these lands to his allies from the Kingdom of Sussex. In 665, Wulhir established control over Middlesex, placing his governor in London. The war with Northumbria in 674 was unsuccessful for Wulhir, and during it, he contracted a fever and died the following year, passing the rule to his brother, Ethelred I. Ethelred I continued the policy of strengthening Mercia, although not as successfully as his brother. In 676, he invaded Kent and finally took the country of Surrey from Mercia. In 679, he invaded Lindsey, after which he defeated the Northumbrians in the Battle of Trent and expanded Mercian territory. In 681, Ethelred I attempted to subdue Wessex, where civil war was ongoing at the time. However, his intervention only united the West Saxons around Prince Cadwalla, who became the King of Wessex in 685, and defeated the Mercians. The following year, Cadwalla defeated Ethelred I's allies, the Kingdom of Sussex, and took their Jutish lands. Ethelred I's last successes were the annexation of the Witcha, Reoconsate, and Magonsate to Mercia around 700. At the same time, Wessex finally managed to conquer the Cornish Dumnonia. By the beginning of the 7th century, there were seven Anglo-Saxon kingdoms in Great Britain. This period of their formation and existence in English history is called the Heptarchy. It became iconic for the English, influencing their culture, politics, and traditions. In the future, the Anglo-Saxons faced a process of consolidation, which would intensify due to the invasion of another group of conquerors, the great heathen army of the Vikings.